שלום לכם, תודה שאתם איתנו כאן בחיים פתוחים.
Hello, thank you for being with us here on New Life, the educational series with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, Yael Leshed. Hello. And today our discussion is to try and dive and understand really in depth the society we live in. The society that we live in is divided into layers. There's stronger and weaker layers. And each finds himself inside this different degrees inside society. One that was above finds himself down, and there's times where it's the other way around. But we want to understand today better the gap between these layers, and also to try and advance towards a solution, towards a better state in life. There'll be very many interesting things. So, Yael, why don't you open with this? So really, as Oren said, we talked about the weak, about the circle of poverty, about the role of the strong and of the weak in the society, and last month a report on poverty came out that represents the poverty state compared to the world. We are really not good. We've moved from the second in the poverty, the world poverty, to the third in the world poverty level in the percentage of poverty percentage in society, and we're number five as far as the gap between the poor and the rich. The last report also shows that the elderly that are below the poverty are rising. The families in poverty have risen. We're talking about 400,000 families, which is almost every fifth family is below the poverty level. We're talking about a quarter of the society, or a third of the children, 1,800,000 people, a quarter of all of society are below the level of poverty. We're talking about a third of the children. These are really disastrous details, data. I really got shocked to hear all of this. The percentage of two providers in the family it has grown, which is a layer that there's a layer in society that we thought never would be in poverty, and they are. And if we look at the at this report, which depicts this picture and who's behind all these numbers, and as we look at who's behind all these numbers, then we're talking about families that make their days go by without food, about 30% of hungry children, children lacking equipment for school that had to give up on certain medicines, people that had to send their children to boarding schools, and many of the high percentage of these people are working people, which is a really disastrous piece of information in my opinion. So, in the last report, many have lost their work. 70% are in ongoing poverty, meaning it's not just something new, but it's ongoing. And a very big percentage of our society is entering into this. And I'm asking myself, how could it be that in a society, a technological society, we're so advanced and so developed, and we would expect for the states to be better and better, and our society is weakening. The technology is getting stronger, and the society is weakening. If you could explain this gap. I don't know what remains how to explain after I've explained this in thousands of programs. We really thought throughout all the previous generations that we're going towards the American dream, the Israeli dream, this big achievements, and there were really periods when we were progressing. And at a certain stage, we started to see a retreat, a deterioration, a drop, a fall, which is ongoing in quite a few states and countries in the world. We thought that was incidental, that it's temporary, and that it's going to flip over, and there's a phase to here or to there, until at last the world understands that altogether it is in a ongoing descent, deterioration, and there is no solution, and that the world has no solution. And this is actually already a good, great achievement that also people are discussing, both the scientists and the so-called managers of the world are starting to understand that they don't have the means to correct or to change the situation. And the situation is going and getting worse. And in such a state, when everyone is in a fall until we get to bankruptcy, then everyone is quiet because no one has what to cry out about. There's all those fundamentalists and Nazis and all kinds of such organizations, but even they don't have a solution. Meaning we're in a state where even if we will change the society, not the economists and not the politicians and our philosophers have any solutions. Rather, it's ongoing. And in such a state, everyone is silent because what are we going to do? What can you do? If you have what to do, do. Let's see. Bring a clear plan, and we'll discuss it with all the good desire to do it. And a logical program, we could even do it as a temporary test pilot somewhere in some country somewhere or some region. And we will try, but no one has such solutions. So therefore, the fact that we, and also the whole world, is because maybe the sorrow, the problem of many is kind of half a consultation for us. But what happens here in Israel, that specifically us, are in a much worse state than all kinds of countries that... They really, and you really can't say, oh, it's because of the wars, or it's because of... No, it's really, there is no justification for this state other than simple social neglect. Also, our education is not good. Also, our social relations are not good. This contradiction within the... government that each just wants to get as much as possible and to control and to rule and to take out of his desire as much as possible and to change and to pull the treasury to all kinds of directions. But in the end, you can't even buy a home. You can't even just live to pay for rent and food and all the basic services that a person needs and to finish the month. There's no such thing. And therefore, if it's happening in some other countries, we can say, but it never was for the Jews like that kind of an attitude between each other, the gap between the rich and the poor. Nevertheless, everyone somehow cared for a certain mutual support or help. And here it's like you almost all never see this, and especially from above. So there are very big gaps. And struggles within society, what layer, what slice out of society, what type of population will pull for itself more than others, and then it's called that, oh, they succeeded. I don't see a solution, and I see before us much worse situations that we're in right now. And of course, the whole problem is a social problem because there's not a lack of food in the world, and also not with us, and not medicine. And we're crying that we don't have enough doctors or nurses or anything. It all relates to our attitude, how we give good attitudes towards the elder, to the children, to each other, how we use what we have. We're not lacking anything. We don't need to add anything. It's not like we have less rich than before, but rather the gaps are growing in society, where the situation that was us, that middle class is disappearing. That not rich and not poor, you know, strong, that middle class. That, yes, this middle class. It's disappearing. It's going and is deteriorating. It's wearing down. It is many more from it are going down to much worse states. It's really not the same high tech, not the same people who made a lot of money compared to the weaker layers, and that build this true strong class. Some of them, a very small part of them, is rising upwards. I mean, the most of them are going down and are joining, not the weakest of the layers, but definitely weak layers, but definitely those that you have to count and see if they are truly managing to keep up with their basic necessities. And we need to start looking at, you know, how their work plans are, and they're in a very difficult situation. There's no doubt that we're coming to a state in which, other than the strong class, a very very thin higher income people, very very high income, everyone else is kind of below, and there will almost be no difference between those that are below in how they earn and how they live and how they maintain themselves. And in accordance, it causes a deterioration in the whole economy, in this services and tourism and all, basically all the things. It's truly becoming like a third world country, and this is what we're seeing here, and it will continue to be like that. We talked about social neglect. I think that that's where the solution comes from, but who will hear? And social neglect is not that we need to raise education, culture. There is culture, there is education, but rather their foundation is wrong, and nothing of it is going towards connection, towards mutual guarantee, towards the unity of the society. And in that, we are truly in accordance with the general crisis, once again, because we are not adapting and comparing to the integral nature in general. And even though we have so many natural resources and technology and all that, we're still in a state of a constant deterioration, a constant descent. Also in the science, and nothing will help us other than changing man, but that's already... Can you sharpen what we neglected? We neglected the relations between people. We once thought that we are going to be here, though it was once a gathering of the nations, a melting pot. The immigration from Yemen and from Russia and from Morocco and from Europe and from all over the world, and each and everyone, so they join and they don't know and they somehow get along. We didn't take on a clear plan and a strong education to leap over all our differences. We didn't build the nation, the one nation. And therefore, sadly, I see it as the basis to all of our problems. Each thinks about himself, the whole society, though it is slowly intermingling, but this disregard and disparagement that there was earlier towards all the different types of people according to their origin. So we're continuing it upon all kinds of other things. It's enough that even if you walk into Tel Aviv and you see what kind of attitude there is between people, this atmosphere, this disregard, how each is kind of proud and how he can be in a state of more than others. And no one has anything. And only this atmosphere, this state is truly destroying us. And this is already not just the first or second or third or fourth generation that is in this reality and was born to this. And we're seeing this according to the young men that don't want to go to the military and are truly trying to get away from it in all sorts of ways. And in general, we see how difficult the states are in schools, between the children, and later, and in every place, according to the number of people that don't want to get married and to bring children. In short, there's a very big social neglect, as is the reason why our society is coming to such numbers. The feeling, in my opinion, in the broad public is that we've actually improved. Meaning, if I look at the state, like from the start of the Israeli state, where there were very big gaps and very big disregard and disparagement between different origins and different immigrants from different places, and now there's a feeling like, oh, we can, there have some kind of advancement, there's some kind of progress in that sensation towards the other. And we're more or less kind of equal now. And you're depicting an opposite picture, an opposite state. I'm describing an opposite state because throughout all our years of existence here, we should have been in a completely different state in the society. We need to understand that we came here in order to be built. And we are not yet a nation. Our culture is not a culture of Israel, of Jews. Rather, it's something that we took from all over the world and we made some kind of salad out of it. And there isn't something that... look how many people are leaving the country, how many people are not capable of surviving here. Because what's here has not happened. But even because the Israelis themselves are dispersed all over the world. And though you can say this, it's like that in all the countries, but for Jews that were in the exile for all these years and felt themselves that enough, we need for there to be a place of our own, it's not suitable. It doesn't suit them. It doesn't suit us. It's not an attractive country, but rather on the contrary, it's a state that kind of repels its and rejects its citizens. And I think that this is also because not just the level of life, but the disregard itself, the attitude, when I enter all of a sudden and I'm here, it's like there's an Israeli atmosphere, as if it's, that's called freedom to us, that's called I'm developed and modern, and we've taken on values that are truly, I don't know how to, it's truly opposite of what it should be. But if we go even higher and deeper into the reason of why there is a problem, then we need to understand that nevertheless, the method of correction in the world is in us. It's with us. We have it. And it talks about the fact that we must be the light to the nations. And therefore, anti-Semitism that we feel is, right now is increasing in numbers and very big numbers in every place. It's a sign that we truly are not bringing to the world what we need to bring, which is the method of correction. And here we are before an even bigger problem. For what's happening here is that as much as the crisis will increase and develop more in all of the world, the degree of anti-Semitism will rise. Because the nations of the world blame us for what happens in the world. and the truth is in a justified manner. For within themselves, they feel that we have some solution, but we're kind of like not revealing it to the world. That we have some secret of success, though we also don't appear to be too successful. But they say that, oh, you deserve it. But we deserve it. Why? Because we're following you. And with that, we really need to see whether it's correct or not. And in accordance with what we study in our roots, there probably is justification in this. That we have the method of solution, the method of correction for the world, meaning of humanity, the relations between human beings. Because in our Torah it's written, love thy friend as thyself. Even though all the nations kind of took that slogan, but no more than a slogan. And therefore we need to examine what is in our foundation, in our root, that we do have to correct ourselves and to give an example to all the nations of the world, that if we are capable to do so, and we do so, we will truly bring the light to the nations, and we will all discover ourselves in a good environment and simply in all the abundance. And it is in us. We do have it. We do have the method of correction, which is called integral education, with which we all, both the big ones and the small ones, men, women, everyone, can take on a change in the relations between us. And from that change of the attitudes between us, we can start and correct all the social systems, and later all the economical systems, and then all the political and state systems. And afterwards, as a society, as it will spread in circles, until all the systems of the government, of the state, will take a new form of the socium, of the society, that is in a new attitude within it, a new relations within it. That's the main thing. Because people build all these circles and all these systems in accordance with what they are and how they are in the connection between them. Because also the economy, also the education, also the culture, also this broad social structure and the political structure is all as a copy of the relations between people. That's how it is, how it also was throughout the development of humanity. As we came out of the caves and we started to build between us new relations, as they were all broadened and everyone started continued to develop, and then in accordance with that, the relations between people started in professions, in help, in economies, in earning from each other, and so on and so forth, until we built all that we have today, as it all stems from the relations between people. They are in the foundation of the whole matter, in this whole big global system. And therefore, first of all, we need to correct the human beings in relation to himself or to others, the connections between everyone. And in that, especially we are capable of making a change. Before we deepen on this matter, I want to return backwards a little bit about the matter of the gap. The gaps are going and getting the middle class is breaking up a little bit, a part going up, but a bigger part going down, and there is occurring here two groups very different from each other. Each has kind of its own world. They live in this place, and not just like that. These are here, and these are there, with a certain distancing between them. And I want to understand a little bit more, how does each group look like? What does each of these states have? It's like really two different states. What sort of people are in this side of the rich, and where we're in this sand, what are the people that are there? What are the relations that exist in the rich layers, and what are the relations that occur in the lowers? And it's really not the lower, you know, few percent. It's the weak group, let's say, compared to the strong group. It's a group of people that more or less is concerned with supply. Because nevertheless, they're dependent on their income, and all in all, their plans are how to hold themselves, how to maintain themselves, how to bring development for their children, and so on. And at least for their children, maybe even a little bit to the grandchildren, it kind of depends on the layer where exactly each one fits inside that family. Nevertheless, it's a battle for existence. Maybe it's not a war, but it's a consideration in what we have today, and maybe for tomorrow, and maybe for the next day. That's how they kind of live. This is the strong of the weak. This is the weak. Yes. But the weak could be also relatively weak, because it could be that tomorrow they simply won't have anything. Because their dependency upon the strong group is absolute. It's in the workplace, it's in the earnings, it's in the profits, and in the fall or rise of a business, but it's a dependency. And therefore, their main thing is a lack of security and confidence in tomorrow. I could have a good salary today, but from today to tomorrow, it can drastically change, and it's over. And in a few months, I really don't even know where I am. It could be, you know, anything that is sudden, in which I am dependent, and the main thing is that I feel this. Though today I am in a relative state, I'm paying my mortgage and I have two cars, and we're two people are working, and we're all in high tech or in this and that, both me and my wife are working, and could be that all of a sudden something closes or something happens, and then no one knows what happens with me. This upper layer is not concerned about tomorrow, actually, about itself. Rather, it's caring about why the sources of income, let's say it's not income, it's already, it's richness already, but those sources, how those sources are finishing, and the unknown matters, and those millions that were flowing are, it's a little bit of a problem. It's not so sure what's going on. And they're also kind of dependent, but it's not known of what. That's true. But their dependency is not a threat that what's going to happen from today to tomorrow, that they have a feeling that they won't have anything. Although that same security and confidence and joy is disappearing from them in a very quick manner. Because it's a matter of feeling. It's not that something is really happening, that they're really feeling like it's a lack compared to what there was a few years ago. But that state in which I don't think about anything other than how to fill my life, where to go to, and where to travel, and where to be, and how to go around and do things, these things slowly are becoming less interesting. Because the general thought, the general concern, the everything that is going around in the world and exists, I'm already feeling like this type of people are starting to feel that the times have passed. These times have just passed. A general concern for what? A general concern for the unknown. That's maybe more correct to say. It's not a concern, once again, about food or the future of the children or something like that. Their general concern is that the world is becoming a world that is not like it always was. It's not that it's already based on money that I have it, and that money is my force, and also on how many tons of gold I have. That also might not help me. And nothing that I have, and even the palaces, and the no matter what, and lands, it also might not help me because it won't have any profit, any weight. And it's not a, it's not some big fortune. In one moment, it could kind of dissipate, and its value could just drop. Kind of like in Detroit, that when I was there, let's say 30 years ago, then it was a city. What grandeur! I came there to meet with a friend from my childhood. And when we were there, when did we do there a convention in Detroit? Was it around 2000, maybe? A long time ago. No. Not 2000. That was already after the crisis. In short, what, maybe 5-6 years ago, I don't remember exactly what. It was already a ghost town. There's nothing there. You can buy a huge building and $10,000, and no one needs it. And in the evening, you can't go outside, and everyone is afraid of everyone because people don't have what to live from, and so the crime and all the problems are rising from. So this is an example where that could truly be for the whole world. It could be like a Hollywood movie about the end of the world. You know, it's like where they have such stories that they've been telling. And but so the problem is very big, and the concern is really like that. I see it. I feel it. I'm in connection with certain types of people sometimes, and I see how they're already cautious. If at one point they were, it's not too bad, it's going to pass, and they're like this, we have that. Not today, though they have, but the confidence, the security, this pink future, that we're living above time, because these people don't work. They don't have, they simply are, you know, just having fun. They're, you know, they're in doing their pleasure states. It's already a different spirit. I feel, and correct me, indirect me, but I'm talking about the very high layer. And less than that, then there are people that are working, managers of all kinds of big companies and so on. They truly also understand that the state is bad, and they feel it upon themselves, and there are all kinds of problems, although not existential problems, but the lack of confidence, of security, concern and worry about the future, the unknown future, that's not in their hands, that money is not the force, and gold is not the strength, and oil is not the strength, because in one moment it can all flip over. And even though they feel like, oh, if we use these treasures compared to those treasures, even though we've got technology to live without oil or gas and so on, it doesn't matter. But still, they need it in order to maintain those things. But nevertheless, the lack of a future and of a security is a general state for everyone. What I feel, and in that, in those weaker layers, can be happier. and more free, seemingly, because whoever has many assets has a lot of concerns too. And sometimes we see people that they don't have, it's good for them, even with a little bit that they have, and they're happy with what they've got. Because externally it looks really differently, but what I felt when you were talking is that actually their whole source of their strength and their control is disappearing. It's truly dissipating. They don't know if money was the source of their control. Today they don't have what to hold on to, and this unknown, there's a feeling of a loss of control, but also this also helps them continue, because everyone's like that, this unknown kind of situation. If there was uncertainty only below and there was no problems, then obviously there would be revolutions, wars, riots, and so on. Civil wars. We don't see this. And why? Because really here there is a certain general confusion. The whole world is in a state of despair. And nevertheless, the stronger layers are trying to calm the situation. So, antidepressants and all kinds of drugs and calming agents and all kinds of other things that I don't want to talk about, but they are all coming to the poorer layers, and it works. It works. It operates, and it's also working with the media and the internet and everything in such a way that, in short, it's work. But this work, nevertheless, is only to kind of smoothen up the trend. But the trend continues. The pace does not depend on it. But it could be that the Titanic is already starting to drown. But there's still music and more or less everyone thinks that for now, the time being, it's okay. And therefore, we are truly in such a state. Yes. Because it's very weird. On one hand, there's this very big gap that we feel, we really feel it powerfully. And even though those gaps existed, always there were the lords and they had their estates and all that. And there was always that. But this great gap. On the other hand, there's a big resistance to these gaps. But on the other hand, there's no revolution. It's kind of like a quiet riot. If the students were going out in the streets, today everyone's at home. Because that feeling of despair for everyone, both the big and the small, is a state of a feeling that truly comes to all of the society, all of the population. And I think this is a really good thing, because humanity needs to understand, and it takes time, that there is no regular solution here. It's not a matter of wars, and though everyone's afraid of that, and they're already not so fearful of that, they kind of relate to that, and they're already in a deterministical kind of way, no matter what will happen. And also in a way of, what will we get from this? Because if we are in a state in which money is already not money, and I can't be sure about anything, then what will it help me if I... There's a problem. There's a problem that a person doesn't see how he can possibly change this situation. Meaning, if I have with what to calm myself today, both my belly and my head, then I don't want anything else. And these are actually going to be the concerns of the higher layers, how they calm down the lower layers' problems with that. So that's why we're advancing to a state where they'll give everyone somehow his minimum, and he will survive somehow by all kinds of services here and there, social services, all kinds of different funds or maybe different organizations, maybe volunteer work. But in general, we'll calm down people, so you'll have a slice of bread and you'll have some kind of pipe to or with some marijuana or something like that to calm himself down, and we'll live like that. Because the solution we don't have, so at least we will eat and drink, because tomorrow we will die. I traveled in Thailand, and you're describing to me what happens in the tribes in Thailand. They sit, they smoke all day long. They eat what there is, whether they cut the wheat or not. And now you bring us back to some period that's a period that we've already passed, as far as the minimum that a person consumes. As far as the give me what there is, and that's enough. We are entering this with our big ego. As we are diminishing it, we're calming it down and basically putting it dormant through drugs. And that's how they see that there's no choice. And so that's why you see country after country is taking on, is giving the approval also to stronger and stronger medicines for calming down. And they're truly putting it into the schools in a manner that is, they're truly obligating and compelling parents to give it to their children, because if not, you can control them. And the poor children are taking receiving this, and how much are we getting through the food and through the water and through everything? And also, we don't have a choice. We are, as humanity, in such a way that we can do everything other than changing ourselves, other than making ourselves good. We're not capable. That's already clear to us. And here we need to decide: we have to do this, or we have no future at all. And in such a situation, I'm very fearful. I once again return to the role of the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, because we do have a plan how to correct man. And according to that plan, we once lived before this last long exile. And this plan is the plan of the right education and love of others. And we have to start carry out this upon us and execute this, and it's possible to do. If we do it, we will earn greatly, as we say. We will benefit greatly. We'll be rewarded, both us and the whole world. We'll have a change to the good. If we don't do it, if God forbid, then the nations of the world will come, they will turn to us in every place in the world. It won't help us if I'm in Australia or in some other place. And it will really be very harsh and bad for us. Because this time it's not just Germany or in some place, but rather simply it will increase and burst out from people that don't see a future. And bind their lack of a future and their lack of hope and this terrible state that they will feel in us. And this is how it happened in smaller dimensions, relatively limited in area and time, but it can happen, and it's always like that towards us and with great power. What's the connection between education to love of others and the gap between the poor and the weak? We need to change a person. We need to change a man so that he will understand that because the way we are integrally connected to each other, we have to be connected integrally to each other. That even though that we're totally contradicting all the systems of nature, that's why we're ruining nature, because we're relating to it in an egotistical manner. Because when I feel like it, I take whatever I want and do whatever I want. I destroy the human society I enter my ego into there. I educate in such a way the younger generation, and that's why you could see what relationships there are between and how they're growing up. meaning if a person will not, when I say a person, the general human beings won't come to a state in which one will be concerned with a good mutual connection, relation between people, and so we will truly be as friends, connected between us, feel the codependency upon each other, then we will deteriorate to a state where we will learn it from great blows. I'm asking again, what's the difference between us being friends, loving each other, and the bigger gaps between poor and rich in Israel? And so I said about that before that when if we understand that all the correction has to start from man, because just as we developed the relations between us throughout history, the connections of competition, the relations of in sales and in trade and through professions and different services, the relations between us built the environment, the society. Let's say we once were as one family where everything is together, and later we start to separate, to distance. So you're a blacksmith and he's a cobbler and he's a the different things. So we realized that we kind of complete each other by working together somehow. And there started to be a certain relations between people. There was a society. One's a musician, the other one teaches, the third something else. And this way we built a society. What are the instructions or the guidelines in such a society? In accordance with how we related to each and everyone, that's how the society was built. In an instinctive manner, slowly, slowly, gradually, through wars and clashes and quarrels, how much people thought about this and how much struggles there were between them in the different factors and different revolutions and so on. We have a very long history through the rulers and all kinds of things. But it was always a copy from the relations between people. We have now come to a state in which our current state and a copy from the relations between people is the most worst possible state. Even though it seems like we're kind of okay, we're not killing each other or eating each other, just like a thousand years ago you could see such things in a free manner. We are also not starving to death really relatively as it was before. But compared to the general state that we have come to, we are in the worst possible state according to the conditions in which nature is discovering that we are living today in a system that is a connected system, a global system, and we are not like that. We are each and everyone compared to this system. Not me and you. Me and you are fine. We're fine. Why? And to what degree? To the degree that I'm not coming to devour you and you're coming to attack me. But that's not okay compared to the forces of nature which are being revealed as global forces. The whole world is a village, is a global village, and in a global village there need to be different relations, just like in a village, like in a society, a closed society, a good small relative manner in which each relates to each other, and everyone understands that in his village, if there's someone else, then he's dependent upon him. And we discover that we're all dependent upon each other. We have many studies about our true state. Only we, with our feeling and our intellect and our minds, do not digest it yet. But it's not important whether we digest it or not. Our development in nature, which is closing us in such a way together, in technology that closes us together. Nature doesn't ask, are you ready or not? It leads us onwards just as it led us throughout all these thousands of years of development. There is a program in nature, just like from the beginning of the Big Bang, and as still inanimate was developed, and then vegetation throughout millions of years, and then animate, and then from that, the humankind. And this all comes according to a certain inner program inside of nature. And today we're discovering that this plan, this program, is bringing us to a closed state, a global state in which we are all around Earth in a small closed system. Codependency. There's nothing you can do. You see what's happening with the environmental climate blows and so on. And this is what happens in a small world. It has to be like a small village. But in this small village, there will be rich and poor. They won't be. People are not equal naturally. They're not equal naturally, but they need to agree that they have a small village, and they need to come. In the end, it's not immediately, but they need to come to this common concern so that everyone will have what we need. What they need. Let's say this. Oh, yes, there are poor, there are rich. Let's do it like this. We will decide, what does a person need per person or per family in order to live his life in a rational manner. Rational. How much food he needs, how much clothing he needs, how much he needs for shoes, what kind of home does he need, what kind of education for his children, a health system, and so on. Necessary things that a person in the 21st century needs. Let's do the calculation. Can we supply that to each and every one in this world or not? I promise you that we can. Only we're not capable. That's the difference. We can, according to the power of our technology and our industry, we can, but we're not capable because each of us is an egoist. He's not capable of thinking about this. Meaning, I need, in order to arrange the world, to organize the world, meaning to take those people and to take different people. Like in a factory. Let's say I changed now completely the factory. The factory was producing shoes, and now I want to produce clothes. So what will I use? Those that I had before? I can't. They have a different profession. I truly fire everyone and invite new people in and hire others. That's their profession. I need for today's world different people that they themselves, according to their attributes, will build different relationships, different systems of relationships. And also those systems, they will supply for each and everyone. Of course, it will be through big systems of education and culture and the food supply and so on. Today, we do not need 90% of the population of the world. We don't need them. We don't need them. But rather, what do we need? We need to supply them with what they need for life, education, culture, and everything. We don't need them in work. We don't need them in everything. You're talking about the a welfare culture which exists one way or another. You won't be able to improve it or not. And why? Because the relations between us do not allow for it. There's no concern. Like a family, the whole world is one family. This is what we need to see before us as a goal. If I don't think in such a manner, I truly am not worthy of being in this generation. There are foundations today, organizations today. It's with the volunteering of people that don't understand what they're doing, and they think that they're doing good things. I don't see in them anything serious because their basis, their foundation is just, they've got a good heart. What is a good heart? I didn't understand. You said there's no concern, but they have a concern. When you have a whole city that is in a certain, a disease or some blow, and you come to a few people that are really about to crash on the point of between death and life, and you give them some medicine also to kind of calm them down, not to correct anything. In that, you're just basically perpetuating and continuing the sufferings. Nothing is being done from that. We see already dozens of people, if not tens of million people, are in this process. How many international organizations have been working on this for dozens of years? The world is deteriorating. It's cascading downwards. There's no correction that's coming from this. I'm not erasing them, and I truly appreciate their attitudes, but it's just from goodness of their heart. What are the relations? There's practical help. They're giving food, clothing, furniture to homes, pacifiers for children, no matter what, whatever you want. Even help with studies and everything. On one hand, there's practical help. And on the other hand, there's truly a caring and a desire for people to help. And many of them don't even receive money for this. And I agree with you that we see that's not solving the problem. Their quantity is growing. The quantity of the problem is growing with that. What are they lacking there? The solution is in changing man. One needs to be, according to his global nature, also global. Every single person needs to change, and this is what we need. Education alone, the global education, so that each person in the world will know that if he wants to have a future, he must enter into an educational system, our new educational system, and to receive there from this system a change in his attitude towards all of humanity. Without that, nothing will help. I can give out billions. I can give out tons of food. I can give each and everyone what, no matter what. From that, nothing will remain. And we know about such incidents, how much we waste on all these things. So you say the problem is not in the system at all. It could be that the system's... No, I'm saying the system is already built afterwards from the changes that occur in man. First, human beings need to be changed. We need to educate the humans. According to that inner change, they will build new systems. Your volunteers are coming to people and are giving them out all kinds of things. And what next from them giving it out? What is there from what they're giving them out? They're not changing anything. The state continues to be worse and worse. The conditions get worse. Just like they find some sick person who's about to die, and they give them, and they can prolong his suffering a little less for a few more days. Not more than that. I'm not saying that we don't need to do that. But if we were to do that in parallel with the true change which comes in the change between people, and if these new people, I would accept them to my new factory, that's not producing shoes, but it's producing clothes, then we would build a new society and a new life. Who's responsible? Who needs to take responsibility on this whole revolution? The people of Israel, the nation of Israel. He was punished for not doing it. And in the nation of Israel, who needs to do it? The nations of the world will come and see that we feel that you're to blame with that. We're to blame for anything? Yes, you. We're not capable of anything. No, you are capable, and you have wisdom, and you have everything, and you are hiding it from us. And they will say this. We've already heard this. Because it's truly in us. Also within the nation itself, there's the individual, there's the society itself, the community. And I'm looking at our state right now, which is this concentration of Jewish people, which exists as a country. And there's the and the general state. Who from these three needs to create this, to take the responsibility and produce this? The state is not capable of doing anything, because in the heads of the nation are the most egotistical people and the most stubborn of all. That's the nature of the managers. God forbid, I'm not blaming them, but it's clear that whoever rises to there is really rising because of... But only the people, only the weakest of the layers that we need to care for, and we need to get the new education. From below, you're saying. Yes, from below. And some from below, and here our time is running out. Thank you very much, Rav Leitman. Thank you very much, Yael. And thank you for being with us. We'll start from below, between us, to create new connections. A new life will be the result. All the best.